Hello, nature lovers. Welcome to the Loudoun Wildlife Conservancy podcast. This is a podcast about wildlife, habitats, and happenings right here in Loudoun County, Virginia, with ideas and activities for you to get outdoors and explore nature. I'm Nicole Hamilton, and this is episode number 7. Today we're going to talk about a local friend that can sometimes be a stinker, and I'll leave you to ponder that for just a second. After we talk about this friend, I'll give you a quick update on upcoming programs and activities for the week, so you can come on out and join us if you like. So, our local stinker. Now, this could actually be a couple of different animals and plants. It could be a stink bug, perhaps, or it could be skunk cabbage, which comes out in April or March. But no, today we're going to talk about skunks. And I really like skunks. They're quite docile and really interesting to watch. But like any wild animal, you don't want to threaten them or freak them out, because unlike the opossum that we talked about last week that might growl and drool if threatened, the skunk will actually spray its musk. But we'll get into all that. I've seen skunks here and there throughout my time growing up in Massachusetts, especially at my dad's house where he'd put out leftovers at what we called the feeding trough. And at night all sorts of animals would come, and sometimes there'd be a skunk or two. But it wasn't until I lived here in Loudoun that I really got a good look. And that experience was at my bird feeder. I had just gotten a new camera and was out back just messing around when I heard this noise coming from the thickets. Just a shuffling of feet and such. So I got into position and I was at the ready to take the shot for whatever came out of the woods. Then out from the brush waddled the skunk, and I was really excited. I didn't have any good skunk pictures at this point, so this was my chance. So, as it turned out, the skunk paid absolutely no attention to me, and as I clicked away and inched closer and closer, I really enjoyed getting to take a look at the skunk and what it was up to. And I really got pretty close, probably just a few feet at most. And so I'll actually post a shot of this skunk along with this podcast so you can take a look. I later heard from neighbors that year that they had seen the babies, probably from this skunk. I never got to see them, but I still keep an eye out for whoever's coming to the feeder and see if I can see our skunk again. And actually, skunks will live to up to 6 years in the wild, so there is a chance that we could see the same skunk. So, about skunks. The primary skunk that we have in Loudoun is the striped skunk, and we have an article from the Habitat Herald from a few years ago that I'm going to draw upon for this podcast, but if you want to read more, just visit our Habitat Herald archives on the website at www.loudounwildlife.org and click on Habitat Herald Archives, and you can download it there. We also have a crossword puzzle on skunks, so if you want, you can also test your knowledge with that, too. So the striped skunk is about the size of a house cat, with a large deep body, a small head, and short legs. It averages 24 to 30 inches from nose to the tip of its tail, and usually weighs between 4 to 10 pounds, which actually is a lot lighter than our house cat, but he's an indoor house cat that's really well-loved, shall we say. The white markings on the otherwise black coat of the skunk start with a thin line on the nose with a broad white patch on the head that flares to a wedge at the back of the head. It then splits into two white stripes, forming a V running down the back and extending part way or all the way to the base of the bushy tail. I think most of us can ID a skunk, but I just wanted to give you the visual since this is an audio podcast, so you kind of have that in your the front of your head or front of your mind right now. Its tail accounts for about one-third of its total length and is magnificent. It's a glorious brush that the skunk carries slightly aloft as it waddles along in search of its next morsels. The skunk is one of the species that has increased in population as more forest has been cleared. The skunk prefers semi-open habitat of mixed woods, brush, open grassland within 2 miles of water, but they can also be found in almost any habitat, including suburbs and city parks. In February, breeding season begins and lasts until the end of March. Males may stay with the female, but they usually leave by April. In late April or early May, about 69 days after mating, give or take, females will deliver up to 10 mouse-sized kits, but the litters usually are 5 to 6. Infants are born blind, deaf, and nearly naked, but the black and white color pattern shows on their skin. They weigh about 1 ounce, and then at 7 days of age, the infant skunks start to grow, and they've actually doubled their weight to about 2 ounces. At 2 weeks, the infants are fully furred, and they weigh about 4.5 ounces. At 17 to 21 days, the eyes and ears will open, and at the age of 1 month, kits weigh about 12 ounces and start walking. They are already able at this age to stomp their feet and scold if angered. They may even try to assume the stance for spraying, but the musk glands are about the size of peas and still too undeveloped. In late June or July, the kits are about 7 weeks old and about 1.5 pounds. They will then begin making excursions outside of their den with their mother and are taught to hunt by her. During this time, they are often seen walking single-filed behind the mother at dusk, often going off for an evening's feeding and a training on where to find food and how to catch them. And we'll talk soon about what they eat. By October, youngsters can be mistaken for adults, except for their smaller size. This is the time that skunks will prepare winter dens. Youngsters will share a den with their mother during the winter months. Skunk dens may be in a ground burrow or beneath a boulder, a rock pile, a wood pile, or an abandoned building. Almost any dark, dry shelter will do. Striped skunks do not hibernate. In December, the females den up, sometimes 8 or 10 to a den. The males are more solitary, so you might not see them in the same spot. During periods of extreme cold, skunks may stay inside for days at a time, but a warm spell will bring them out in search of food. The skunk is perhaps best known for its well-developed scent glands, and I think this is what you were probably waiting to hear about. The scent glands are situated at the base of the tail, and when seriously threatened, the skunk can squirt the musk from these glands with great accuracy of up to 15 feet. And that is pretty amazing. So if you want to have that safe perimeter distance, stay 15 or more, I guess 16 feet away. When in the presence of a skunk, it's wise to remain quiet and not to do any sudden movements. I guess when I was taking photos, I wasn't really moving that quickly. And since they don't see that well or, have that acute of senses, I was probably safe. But I guess I should count my blessings to some degree. Typically, the skunk will go through a series of 3 warnings before resorting to spraying. So, in truth, we really do have a good chance to get away. And when the skunk sprays, it's probably because whoever was threatening it deserved it. First, the skunk will stamp its front feet. So, stamp, 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 stomp, stomp, stomp. There we go. That is warning number 1. So keep an eye out for that first. Then, warning number 2 is that it raises its tail with the tip pointed downward. So that's warning number 2. The third and the final warning is when the tip of the tail raises up and fans out. At this point, the skunk is bent into a U shape with both its front and back facing you. This way, the skunk can see where it's firing, and it does so with incredible accuracy, up to 15 feet, usually aiming at the eyes, from what we've been told and read. If necessary, a skunk can fire 5 or 6 consecutive times, but an older, more experienced skunk may change its mind, forgive the intrusion, and lower its tail before slowly ambling away. When a skunk does spray, gentle breezes can actually carry a scent for more than a mile. The musk is yellowish, has an acrid, stinging odor, and will stick like glue. It's not only offensive to the nose, but also painful to the eyes. I won't go into here how to remove skunk odor, because there are a number of different methods, including scope mouthwash and hydrogen peroxide and other things. You'll want to do a Google search find out from a professional how to get it out. But from what I understand, tomato juice doesn't actually work. Back to the skunks. Equipped with such an effective defense mechanism, the foraging skunk wanders, seemingly oblivious to danger. Skunks have weak hearing, poor eyesight, and a mediocre sense of smell and taste. Skunks make a variety of sounds. At times they may twitter, screech, growl, chirr, coo, and even whistle. Occasionally, one may chirr or scold if disturbed or make grunting sounds when feeding. The one that I was doing my photographs of really just went about its business eating the seeds and didn't have much to say, so I guess it was just pretty intent on what it was doing. The skunk cannot climb, and that really has no ground speed. It ambles along in a slow, flat-footed gait at about 1 mile per hour. Skunks really have no reason to hurry, but when they really do have to, they can trot at about 3 to 4 miles per hour, and at top speed, they might reach 6 miles per hour. So they're still pretty slow moving. In terms of their benefits to people, skunks are the gardener's and the farmer's best friend. Their diet is almost entirely beneficial to man and his interests. All skunks are omnivorous, but most of their diets consist of animal matter, such as grasshoppers, crickets, moles, mice, and shrews, as well as insect larvae, worms, beetles, grubs, caterpillars, slugs, weevils, spiders, millipedes, baby rats, and did I say mice? I think I said mice, but them too. They'll also eat some fruit and some tender buds from trees, grasses, and berries, but they primarily eat those other items that I just described. In spite of its potent defense mechanism, the skunk is very easygoing, shy, and to some degree self-confident. The skunk's greatest enemies are humans and dogs. Some dogs will kill skunks even after being sprayed with the musk. If your dog sees a skunk, it's best to keep it away so the dog doesn't get sprayed and create problems for you, but also so that the skunk is just plain left alone and can go off on its business. Baby skunks are especially vulnerable and can be killed in an instant by a dog. And, the dog might just think it's like a cute chew toy to throw around. So definitely take caution if your dog sees a skunk. In terms of true wild predators, great horned owls are probably the skunk's greatest threats. From what we understand, owls have no sense of smell, so no matter how many times they get sprayed, it doesn't matter. It's not unusual to find a great horned owl nest surrounded by skunk skeletons, and these are the remains of dinners that the adult owls had brought to the nest for their young. With few natural enemies, skunks are often observed sort of wandering along the roadsides, and many thousands actually fall victim to automobiles each year. This is another animal, kind of like our opossum, that really should never be seen killed by the road because they're really just moving too slowly for us not to be able to react and take care not to hit them. Right here on Route 9 near Waterford last week was a dead skunk, and I really wonder what the circumstances were that the driver couldn't avoid hitting it. But, I'll leave that at that. So what do we do about skunks in our yard? Well, they are the gardener's best friend, but sometimes people see them digging in their gardens and other areas. The truth is, they're attracted to these areas because they might be infested with caterpillars, slugs, snails, moles, voles, and mice. So if your yard has these things and you see skunks, then really the skunks are just after these tasty morsels, not the garden. Most often when they're digging, they're just going after slugs and grubs that are on the surface layer of the soil. And this especially happens when you have like an overwatered lawn or an area that is especially moist that is a great breeding place for slugs and grubs. And so as this area, this soil dries out, the skunks will also depart and be done with their digging. Many of the skunk-related calls that come into wildlife rehabbers are about evicting a skunk from denning sites, such as under elevated sheds, openings under concrete slabs, driveways or porches, and in crawl spaces under houses. So I'll take a minute to read from a rehabber's guide on what to do in these cases. Here's what it says. Before sealing a den, it's important to determine whether or not the den is occupied. This can be accomplished by covering the entrance with loose dirt. If a skunk is present, it will dig its way out that night and reopen its hole. If the dirt remains undisturbed for 2 to 3 nights and it's not winter, i.e. it's not really denning, it may be assumed that the den is unoccupied and it can be permanently closed with masonry, boards, or hardware cloth. If it is an active den, then the skunk can be evicted by installing a one-way door over the entrance that will allow the skunk to leave but prevents it from re-entering. Leave the door in place for several nights and make sure no new holes appear nearby. Remove the door and then close the area as mentioned above. Do not evict skunks during spring and early summer, as kits may be in the den and will perish without their mother. If you have skunks in the garage, leave the garage door open at night and make a path of cheese leading out of an open garage door. Spread a 2-foot band of white flour around the garage door so you can see the skunks exiting footprints, and then keep the door closed in the future. Another wildlife encounter that may leave you perplexed in terms of what to do is skunks stuck in a window well. And so I'll read a little bit about that one, too, from a wildlife rehabber. Because I understand skunks commonly fall into window wells and they can't get out because they're such poor climbers. But at the same time, you probably don't want to reach your hands in to try to get it out. So here's some advice from a rehabber on what to do. Slowly lower a large kitchen garbage can or a cardboard box on its side into the well. Before doing that, put a chunk of smelly cheese into the back of the garbage can or the cardboard box. So put the cheese in, lower the garbage can or the cardboard box down on its side, and then move slowly and talk to the skunk. Yes, talk to the skunk. He won't spray you as long as you don't come at him fast or try to touch him. Wait until he goes into the can, the garbage can or the box, and then raise it slowly like an elevator and put it on the ground so that the skunk can then amble out after he finishes the cheese. And yes, it does say all that in this little write-up by this wildlife rehabber that they like the cheese and that you should talk to them. So there. If you have skunks in your garden, don't evict them, as they will eat every insect pest that you don't want eating your garden. And be glad that the skunks are there. They are truly the gardener's best friend. Overall, the skunk benefits man by being one of the most effective predators of small rodents and insects. Skunks are truly an intriguing member of our wild kingdom, and because they are so adaptable, they will hopefully be around for many generations to enjoy. So that's the story of our skunks. I hope you enjoyed learning about them a little bit and what to do, especially if they get stuck in a window well. Now for an update of programs and activities. This coming Saturday, August 30th, we have butterflies and birds at the Blue Ridge Center for Environmental Stewardship, and that starts at 9 a.m. and goes until noon. We should see butterflies using the late summer wildflowers, as well as migrating birds that are starting to come through. We'll meet at the visitor center at 9, and then we'll head on out along the trails and see what we see. So that about wraps it up for this episode of the podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it. For the first week of September, our next episode, I'm going to be going out of town, so we might not have an episode next week. And if that's the case, then just stay tuned and we'll follow up with episode 8 the following week. But if I can kind of get things together next week and in spite of my travel and that sort of thing, then stay tuned and we will have an episode. But it's kind of up in the air right now. So just wanted to give you a heads up on that part. So anyway, I hope you enjoyed listening and have a great holiday weekend, and we'll see you along the trails.